I must say, I'm a bit of a church junkie. I just love being with God's people, and I just love worshiping with them. There's just something so precious being there. And my wife found moral support here in front. I say it's good. Oh, it's for her. It's moral support for the lady in the second row. But I enjoy being here, and glorious times. And yeah, the one thing that I'm realizing over and over again is just this weird dichotomy that's in Scripture. You know, you'll never be truly, full if you're hungry. How will you know when you're full if you're not hungry? And how will you know comfort if you're not sad? Now, it's weird why God made it like that. But it's one of those things that God does. We don't understand it. And you can truly just understand the peace of the Lord if you do get angry. That's the only way that you can understand the peace of the Lord. And we run away from all those things. We run away. We run away from the anger. We run away from the hunger. We run away from the persecution. And it's in the persecution that you do understand that you have a comforter and one that's truly peaceful. And so it's an ugly, but isn't beautiful. You know, and how can we know what's beautiful if we don't know what ugly is? You know, and that's beautiful. And how can we learn to say thank you if we don't have anything to say thank you for? Listen very carefully to what I'm asking. How can we learn to say thank you if we don't have anything to say thank you for? Now, if we've learned to say thank you in those situations, I can tell you then you've won a lot. And I want to talk this morning just about thankfulness. I want to drop a few short thoughts with you that I've been wrestling with and what Scripture says. But being thankful, that heart's condition, and just talking about it and speaking about it is something really precious, and it's something that all of us need to cultivate within our hearts, and we need to keep it there. And I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 136 verse 1 to 3. It says, give thanks to the Lord for his good, his faithfulness endures forever. And then he says again, give thanks to the God of gods, his faithful love endures forever. And then he says, give thanks to the Lord of lords, and his love will endure forever. That progression of how he understands who God is and why he's thankful. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. We are builders of a thankful house. We are a people that's supposed to be thankful. We are a people that's supposed to, just like the psalmist, progress in saying, you're the God of gods, you're the Lord of lords, you're the Lord of hosts. It's a progression of how the psalmist speaks, but he speaks of that progression out of a thankful heart because he has an understanding of who he's talking to. And then what the writer of Hebrews says, the fact that we have an unshakable kingdom. In other words, my emotions can be shaken, my life can be shaken, my family can be shaken, everything can be shaken, but not the kingdom of God. And for that we need to be thankful. Because it's a steadfast kingdom. It's a kingdom that does not run away. It's a kingdom that's not scared. It's a kingdom that's not fearful. It's a kingdom that has a king. It's a kingdom that doesn't understand the rules of democracy. It's a kingdom where we can't vote in. But I love what the writer of Hebrews says. It's a kingdom that we can be thankful for. Because come on, let's be honest. When everything else fails, the kingdom of God stands. And we're citizens of that kingdom. And we need to talk about the fact that we're thankful builders of a God-glorious house. That's why I love church. Because of the special relationships that I have. And just seeing the kingdom of God in people's lives. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for each and every one of you this morning. So let me just quickly tell you, why am I starting this year talking about thankfulness? Why should we talk about thankfulness? Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. Of course we may eat of the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. You know, it's like when Satan confronted Eve and, seduced her. by eating. Say, God said you shouldn't eat from the tree. Satan said you must. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Now, why am I showing you this? Eve showed ingratitude for God's provision, not believing in him. The reason we need to talk about thankfulness is, you see, as soon as we become unthankful, as soon as we doubt God, as soon as we cannot say thank you for what I have now, we tend to sin, like Eve. That's why we need to talk about it. I'm just dropping it with you, you know. And let me tell you, if I can't say thank you for anything that God is giving me, I'll try to satisfy myself. And you know, when we try to satisfy ourselves, we sin. And we need to talk about it, because this is important. Ingratitude is increasing. But let's read on. Romans chapter 12, 1 verse 21. Just listen to this beautiful scripture. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Why do we need to talk about, you know, just go on here, sign. As a result, their minds became dark and confused because they didn't know how to say thank you. But why do we need to talk about it? It's part of our human nature. We're born with unthankfulness within our hearts. Ons word ondankbaar gebore, liewe land. As jy 'n ondankbare spesies soek, kyk maar na die mens. 'N klomp klaakouse. Sure. And no, I'm preaching at myself. Don't you worry. But you know how we are unthankful with everything. Just go to that scripture again. I want you to see something in the scripture. Let's take him from, they knew God, we know God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. In other words, the Apostle Paul is talking about everybody on earth. The fact that we didn't know him and that we were unthankful. And they began to think up foolish ideas. Maybe God's like this, maybe God's like that, maybe this is God, maybe that's God. And then the last verse, it's just so beautiful. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. I can tell you this, unthankful people, I'm looking at my own life. It's been the times that I've been confused the most. Because if you don't know what to say thank you for, why do you still live? I'm never werk toe gaan môre. Oh, my boss. Oh, my vrou, kyk hoe lyk sy. You know, things popping in our minds and the things that we tend to think. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. We need to talk about thankfulness because it is a sign of the last days. Discontentment is increasing. Everybody wants more. Everybody wants it now. Everybody wants it yesterday. No. And there's this way that we live, I'll tell you, and we depositing those unthankful seeds within our kids. You know, when our kids throws tantrums, we tend to look at them and ask everybody, whose child is this? Visiopala? Because the scary thing is you see so much of yourselves in them. And so you must wonder, they can't be mine. Must be somebody else's. But you say that because you recognize it within yourself. But the Apostle Paul says, in the last days, people will become more and more unthankful. They would want more. And then Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 to 9. Just listen to this. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience. God also has patience, but I'll tell you, don't test his patience. Even though they saw my miracles for years, Israel's repeated ingratitude to the Lord allowed them to grow in unbelief. If you're unthankful for quite a long time, you will stop believing. In Afrikaans, as jy vir lang genoeg nie dankie kan sê nie, dan gaan jy later ophou glo. Dan wat sê rede? And that's what the writer of Hebrews says. Because of their unbelief, they couldn't believe anymore. And you know what? Just nod your heads if you agree with me. If for long enough you cannot say thank you, you lose your peace. Jou vrede gaan na my jin. As mens vir lang genoeg vir iets kan dankie mee sê nie, dan gaan jou vrede daarmee jin. And when you lose your peace, you can forfeit your promises. If you lose your peace, you can forfeit your promises. And so we have to understand that we can be thankful when we sing a song like How Great Thou Art. But we also can be thankful when we sing a new song, which Hillsongs or whatever band writes. Because if we do not know how to appreciate the old, you'll never be satisfied with the new. And so it's beautiful, but this writer says, the writer says that the Israelites saw God's miracles in the desert for 40 years. They saw the miracles. They saw the Red Sea. They knew about the plagues. They knew about the bitter water turned into sweet water. But they never learned to say thank you for that. And so they forfeited the promise. But now, just watch this. The unexplainable grace conundrum. I still can't figure this out. Just read the scripture with me. Luke chapter 6 verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Now watch this. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High God. For God is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Now try to figure God out. God is even kind to unthankful people. Why? Let me tell you why. If we are unthankful, we'll never see God as kind. That's what that scripture is saying. That scripture is explaining something really beautiful to us. As soon as I cannot say thank you, I'll never understand that God's a kind God. As soon as I understand that God's a kind God, then I will understand God is even kind to those who are unthankful. And just we can just sit our brother down and say, sit down and let me talk to you. Do you know what? You're so unthankful, but you know that God is kind with you? Then you show him the scripture. Did you know that God still loves you? But you know what? You'll never be able to see it because you're not thankful. You're a moaner. You continue to moan. So I want us just to jump to the last scripture. We'll spend time on this one, but Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. I just want us to read there. As Jesus continued towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village, 10 lepers, malata manne, stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now just stop there. It's a beautiful thing. 10 lepers comes to Jesus and they just worship him. They say, "God, please heal us." And God says, "Okay, go show yourselves to the priest." Because in those days, when you were healed of leprosy, you had to go to the priest to show them that you are healed, and they had to inspect you and look at you and just see if it's safe for you, because they were like outcasts. But now Christ says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they're walking, they get healed. It's a miracle. They get healed instantaneously as they're walking. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, so as they're walking, the one says, "Hey, it's gesond." that he was healed came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." Just one. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet. At one state he's worshiping God, now he's prostrate. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Only one man came back for his healing to thank God. Now watch this. This man was a Samaritan. Now Scripture, the Holy Spirit here is deliberate, because the Samaritans and the Jews, they were not friends. They were not friends. Now watch this. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Other translation says, "Your faith has saved you." There's a difference between being healed and being saved. This man's faith in Christ healed him completely of everything. The other guy's was just physically healed. Gaan dit in Afrikaans, en Afrikaans sê dit nogals baie mooi. 9 was gesond gemaak, maar 1 was gered. Die 1 wat gered was, was gesond gemaak en gered. Die ander 9 was net gesond gemaak. Why? Because of thankfulness. Just because he knew that what happened here is so glorious, I better go back. And I better do this. And now let's just get to the practical side of what I want to share this morning. I want us this morning to take time out to reflect on God's goodness. And we always go back to him to praise him. Always. And everything that he said about you, you go back to it. You said, "God, this is what you said about me, and I'm thanking you for it. Yes, I will be a successful worship leader. Yes, I will be a successful doctor. Yes, I will do this. God, I thank you for everything that you've said about me. It's glorious." You go back to that. You go and you worship God. You fall prostrate. You fall on your face before me. It's just practical stuff in his presence. Maybe you haven't done it, but when you're alone, go lie down on your face in front of God. He's a king. He deserves it. And even if it feels funny, you just lie down in front of him and you just lie and you say, "God, you're glorious." And faith in Christ heals a hardened heart. Thankfulness is the key that unlocks your healing in every area of your life. Thankfulness is really that key that unlocks everything in your life. It unlocks a lot of things. I'll tell you, when we start to say thank you, circumstances look very differently. Now, if I was to preach this message in Pakistan or Iran, I would be very scared to do that. It's that's a okay boodskap om te preek. Because what do you tell those people there? And somehow they've been following Christ for quite a few years now. And I have a suspicion is there something that within their hearts that's changed in terms of their thankfulness towards God. They're just so glad to worship him. They're just so thankful that they're in their lives. And the perception of the kingdom, and this is very important what I'm going to say now, kingdom. You see, our understanding of kingdom differs from the understanding of kingdom when somebody is saved in the townships. For me as a pastor, if you go to any township in South Africa, and especially those in Khayelitsha, Guguletu, there's a lot of people dying of age and a lot of pastors burying people every week dying of age. Now I can tell you, if people in your congregation dies, it does something to your heart. But now there's churches like there where AIDS is rampant and people are sick. Those pastors have to bury. Now, I don't know, love, what we would do to bury people every day or every week, 2 to 3 people. You just have funerals. It must do something to you. Now, their understanding of the kingdom and our understanding of the kingdom is it's not wrong. It's just, I think they have a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God than we sometimes do have. Because the kingdom is unshakable, as we said, because out of their thankfulness. It's the same when somebody, a CC in Khayelitsha, says, "I'm hungry. I don't have food," but she's overweight. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. But it's another thing if somebody, you know, from Ethiopia tells you, I'm hungry. Nou, wie is nou meer honger? You understand what I'm trying to say? About the revelation of thankfulness that needs to pop within our hearts. It's most probably not in what we see and what we think, but it's about what that leper came to realization. Look here, something awesome has happened to me. Someone has walked into my life. Someone has changed my life. And God knows I need to understand this and I need to worship Him. There's something that must pop out of my heart. Now that's the revelation that I'm talking about. And that is why I tell the guys this morning, I really believe that God is wanting to restore your joy. God is wanting to restore our joy. Our joy of preaching the gospel. The joy that comes with the Holy Spirit. The joy of our salvation, that first time that we've met Jesus. And that joy only comes with that thankfulness. I'll never forget the day when I gave my life to the Lord. I wept that whole week, but I wasn't sad. I just wept. Because I had this revelation that there's a God who really loves me. It's a revelation that I had. He just loves me. He disciplines me. He loves me, but He's there for me. And out of that grew a gratitude for Him. And that is something that I want God to restore. And so maybe this morning you need your joy to be restored. Maybe this morning you're sitting there thinking, "Môre begin ek weer werk. Just the day. All my trouble seems so far away." You know that song? Yesterday. All my trouble seems so far away. But they're always near. Yesterday is as close as yesterday because it's today. And this is why Scripture said, today don't harden your hearts when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I really believe God is wanting to restore. Now, you know how it works. Have you ever been in a situation that you hate regularly in 1 year or in 1 month? Maybe it's those meetings that you always have to go to at work. You hate those meetings. Because the people there is rude with you, they're ugly with you, they're nasty with you. Now you must go into those meetings. Or it's a family. Every day you have to wake up in this home where everybody fights, nobody's laughing, everybody's angry. Or maybe you've lost a loved one. And every morning you just wake up and somebody's died, you know. Like that song says, every time you go away, you take a piece of me with you. There's something gone here. And then you pray to God and say, God, please help me. I was abused by my father, and now I'm in this job where all these male chauvinists are, and they don't have respect for women. And here I am, and then you pray to God and say, God, I need your help. God, please, I need your help. And then one day you're standing in this meeting with all the male chauvinists, and then you realize, but I don't hate it anymore. Yeah. Is nog as lekker om met hulle te gesels. Ek sien mans in 'n lig. Then you try to figure out, but why am I not angry or agitated? But then you know, God has restored joy. Then you know, God has restored something within your hearts for which you can say thank you. And I'm trusting God to do that to the whole church. Because we need to get that one right this year. We need to understand that that's the place that we need to operate from. A place of being thankful within our hearts. David, would you and the band come and can we just get the communion? You know, that's all that I'm wanting to say, and we're going to trust God for that. For the new season, we're going to say thank you for wherever we're at. We're going to say thank you to God. You know, it's like those adverts, like, do you still remember them? Back to school is cool, and then you think it can't be cool. Back to school can't be cool. If you're a teacher, it can't be cool. If you're a student, I mean, you think it can't be cool. Back to school can't be cool. Back to work can't be cool. But I'll tell you, there's something that God must restore. There's something that God must unlock within our hearts. We have to face our fears. We have to go back. You have to go back. You have to face your fears until when you're in that situation where the fear is so tangible, but you're not fearful. And you see everybody else in a new light, and then you say, God, thank you. I've been thinking a lot about that one leper. She did the slide. Had die nagmaalbroodjie spat. Sy het nuwejaars voorneme. Sy het vir my voor die tyd gesê, sy wil nog een dag graag nagmaalbroodjies laat spat. Ah, het sy dit gedoen. En dis is die waarheid, hoor. It's not the truth. I've been thinking a lot about that leper. And what I'm beginning to understand about this man, the fact that he was healed, I mean, he was an outcast, eh? He wasn't allowed to connect with other people. But the healing was not the main thing for him. He just got to a revelation, there's a man that I need to worship. There's a man that I need to be thankful for. That's why scripture says when you enter his gates, enter it with thanksgiving. You know, you're just so thankful. So he goes back. He doesn't even talk about being healed. He says, he just says thank you. But the way that he says thank you, he doesn't say thank you for the fact that he's healed. He says thank you because it's a privilege to worship this man. Now that's a deeper level of worship that God must lead us to. Can we just flight that scripture again? Where he goes back. I want you to see it. Where he goes back to Jesus. One of them saw that he was healed, came back to just shouting. He didn't shout, "Ek is gesond." He said, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Now, what's Jesus' response? Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory? Has no one returned to give glory? Has no one returned to give glory except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith." It's interesting how our faith is connected to our thanksgiving. When I'm unthankful, I have little faith. And I want God to restore to us. I want God to restore the joy to us. Because that's God's in the business of doing that. This morning, we're going to pray that God will restore our joy. He will restore everything of our hearts that wanting to worship him this year. And when we say thank you, everything just crumbles, man. Now, I'm also wondering how the Jews felt, because they were like the superior race. Ons is die Jode, jong. Ons weet. Nou is Jesus as pres. Jesus said, "Die man wat julle nie so van hou nie, die mense, hy weet hoe om te doen, julle weet nie." Now, that must be an indictment. It's a serious indictment. But I love Jesus. "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And I love the way Jesus does it. He answers everybody with 3 questions. Don't you love God? God speaks in questions. Where's the other 9? Didn't I heal 10? Didn't anyone come to give glory? When God's speaking in questions, you know God. Why, God, why? And then God says, why do you want to know why? When, God, when? And God says, when do you think? Have you ever had those conversations with God? Please, God, when are you going to do this? And God says, when do you think I'm going to do it? Do you know why God does it? So that we can come to a place of thankfulness. When, God, when are you going to do it? When do you think you're going to? Oh, God, I'm catching what you're saying. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Thank you. Thank you. Ah, oh, my son, Fangom, no. Oh, no. Did you know it's a Japanese dessert? And so God skitters that those false tanne will uitval. Die wat die het. But God will do it until we get it, until we understand. He's a God that just loves thankfulness. He doesn't say that you must ignore the way you feel. He doesn't say that you must ignore your emotions. That's not what God's saying. But you know, he knows somebody that is gratitude. If you want your joy to be restored, if you want that thankfulness to come back into your heart, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with being unthankful sometimes. Because can I tell you why? Because we're human. It's part of our human nature. But it's always good to come back to that place of just saying, thank you, God. And I just want to say this, even if you don't feel like it, just say thank you. Get into the habit of saying thank you. When your wife brings you your coffee, don't just drink it. Say thank you. Or when you get home, when there's a nice meal, we get in the habit of not saying thank you anymore because she has to. Sy moet dit mos doen. Hy moet mos gaan werk. Soggens af 6 uur uit. Hy moet man. Is sy job. Look the man in the eye and tell him, thank you, my man. Thank you that you're going. And when you get home, say thank you for the food. Unthankfulness doesn't make us see the beauty of the small things. And so when we understand that, God gets excited. God gets excited. Do you see Jesus' excitement there? Do you see Jesus' excitement? Do you see it in the scripture? After the questions, he gives commands. Now stand up and go. There's just an excitement with Christ about people understanding how his hearts work. And that's my heart for you this morning. If you want prayer in those areas, just a blessing on your ear also. If you have to go to work tomorrow, if you're starting, if you're going to go on holiday, come, let me pray for you. You're going to start working. We want to pray for you. It's your first day at the job. We want to pray for you. I want you to come. We're going to consecrate it. Let's just have some bread and wine. I'm going to call you forth now. My love, can I share with you bread? Because my bread is scattered in front of me. You read our hearts like a book. You understand us. You know us. You ask us the right questions. But God, this morning, from just a place of being thankful, we bring this whole year before you, Lord. We bring last year before you, and we say thank you for what you've done in our lives. You're a glorious God. We belong to you. Our jobs belong to you. Everything of us belongs to you. And this morning, as we offer this sacrifice of praise and of thankfulness, we know that you'll stay faithful. But God, we pray for a revelation of how and when and with who we should do it. Because we want to come from that place of the throne room with you, where we walk out of the throne room confidently and we can look the world in the eye and we can say to the world, God has sent me, I'm thankful.